Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, Tim. This is the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. We're getting into the new year here with a couple of laughs, because it's always nice to do that. Fun way to get the year going. We'll start off with an episode of the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. This is called The Concert Stage from 1950. And after that, in 30 minutes, we're going to have the, whatever Bob and Ray do, they're going to do it for about 30 minutes. The last program of the year is what this one's called, and the year in question, 1949. But first, here's the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show.
Good health to all from Rexall. It's the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists.
This is your Rexall family druggist wishing you, for 10,000 independent Rexall druggists, a new year full of happiness and prosperity. This year, we hope to serve you better than ever. And though 1950 may see some changes on the American scene, two things will be the same. The orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows and the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company that we carry. Plenamins, Rexall's multivitamin capsules, is a good example. Two Plenamin capsules a day give you more than your minimum daily requirement of every vitamin for which such requirements have been established, plus valuable liver concentrate and iron. And that's the kind of quality we family druggists are talking about when we tell you you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Happy New Year to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Today is the dawn of a new year, a dawn that brings the promise of happiness to some, of worldly gain to others, and despair to a few. At least that's the way it affects the members of the Harris household. Alice looks forward to it with happiness.
I have a lot to look forward to this year. I'm a lucky girl to have two beautiful children and a husband to match.
Brother William's thoughts run along another line on this New Year's morning.
1950. 1 year closer to the time my war bonds mature.
And then there's Phil.
Ooh, my poor head. Oh, this is a 14-carat Clyde I got this. I've never had such a headache.
Oh, no wonder you have a headache after what you did last night.
You're right, honey, absolutely right. And that's the last time I read Shakespeare under a dim light.
Philip, you look awful. What happened last night? Where did you two go?
We went to a soiree at the Musicians Union.
Oh, heavens. Alice, is it safe to go to one of those affairs? Whatever made you do it?
I don't know. Guess I like to live dangerously.
What are you talking about? It was a very orderly party. The cops only had to use tear gas 3 times.
I don't see how you can enjoy those things. Tell me honestly, Philip, did you have a good time?
Did I have a good time? Did I have a good... Alice, did I?
Philip, don't you remember what happened last night?
Willie, I told you I was too busy reading Shakespeare. You know something, Bill? That cat's a pretty good writer. You know something? I just couldn't put down his story about how they cured the alcoholic.
Shakespeare wrote a story about curing an alcoholic?
Yeah, The Taming of the Stew.
Alice, there's a bus leaving for Reno in 15 minutes. Get on it, please.
What does she want to go to Reno for? This kid don't gamble.
Philip, it's about time you changed. And
Willie, stop picking on Phil. I like him the way he is.
Only because you're too young to know your own mind.
I am not too young. You're so right. Go ahead, pick on him. Go on.
Philip, what I'm trying to say is this. Today is the beginning of a new year, the dawn of a new decade. And it's an ideal time for you to take stock of all your human frailties and attempt to correct your many failings. In short, get with it, Wanga.
Oh, this kid's got too much time on his hands. Let me tell you something, Willie. Stop trying to come between me and Alice. I happen to be a very good husband.
A good husband wouldn't take his wife to a brawl like the one you took Alice to last night.
I told you it wasn't a brawl. Just a bunch of musicians at play. You know how those guys are. They're just mischievous little imps.
And you should have seen the lead imp, Frankie. The last time I saw him, he was crawling around on the floor, biting people in the leg.
He was not. He was just giving somebody a hot foot. Of course, I'll admit that Frankie enters into the spirit of those things a little more than anybody else. In fact, the way he carried on last night, I doubt if he'll ever be...
Hiya, Curly.
Remley, are you still alive?
I don't know. The coroner's report hasn't come in yet. Well, party last night, wasn't it? After you left, we had a great time up to 3 o'clock, but then it quieted down.
What happened?
The veterinarian came in and gave us all distemper shots.
Brian, stop exaggerating.
I'm not exaggerating, Alice. It was... Ruff, ruff. Guess my shot's starting to wear off.
Why, that must have been the wildest affair you musicians ever had.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Last year's was a beaut. That's when we held our survival of the fittest party. You remember that affair, Curly?
Yeah. I lost the whole brass section at that one.
You know, Francis, you could stand a little straightening out for the new year, too.
Curly?
Yeah.
What reform movement is little Carrie Nation on now?
Eyes on my neck. He wants me to change my ways. Faultless little me. He thinks I need improvement. Isn't that ridiculous?
No. You're not perfect, you know.
Well, my fans think I am. I have universal appeal, and I'm loved by all three sexes, men, women, and children. Well, I get thousands of letters every week.
Oh, by the way, Curly, I just came from NBC, and I brought your fan mail for this week. Here it is. One postcard.
One lousy postcard?
Go ahead and read it to us, Philip. I'm anxious to find out how your multitude of fan feels about you.
All right, smart guy. I'll read it, and I'll guarantee it's full of raves. Listen to this. Dear Mr. Harris, I have followed your career in radio for many years, and I think that you're the most scintillating personality to hit the airwaves since Lucy Monroe. Yours is the most entertaining show in radio, and I can't find a single thing wrong with it except...
Well, go on.
Well, I'd like to, but from here on out, this writing becomes a little unlegible.
Oh, never mind, Phil, I'll read it. I can't find a single thing wrong with your show except for two glaring faults, which I'm sure you're aware of. And it's signed, Your Ardent Fan, Sweeney.
Two faults?
Mm-hmm.
Could I possibly have...
No.
The guy's a crackpot.
If you weren't afraid to face the facts, you'd look this man up and find out what these faults are.
Who's afraid? I'll go over and see this Sweeney guy right now. His address is on the postcard. Come on, Alice, you and Frankie come with me. I'll show you. What this guy Sweeney looks like.
Well, if he's home, we'll soon find out.
Well, his card sounded like he's a very intelligent person.
How do you do, sir?
Gee, it's people.
What was he expecting, a herd of llamas?
You keep quiet, Remley, please, a minute. Mr. Sweeney, I received a fan letter from you, and I came to talk to you about it. You see, my name is Phil Harris.
Phil Harris? You mean the Phil Harris? My favorite radio star? The greatest personality in the history of show business? The one and only...
Oh, Mr. Sweeney, don't over...
Let this boy talk. Mr. Sweeney, I know exactly how you feel about me, because I feel the same way.
Gee, to think that Phil Harris would come to my little house. No, it can't be. You're not Phil Harris.
Look, I tell you, I'm me. Now, what do I have to do to prove that I'm Phil Harris?
Why don't you stagger for him a little?
That won't help. You'll think I'm you. Look, Mr. Sweeney, I'm Phil Harris, and I can prove it to you. You see, I brought my wife with me. You recognize Alice Faye, don't you?
Gee, it is Alice Faye. Golly, I haven't been so thrilled since the time I got caught in a revolving door with Sonny Tufts. Gee, Miss Faye, I used to love you in pictures. I went to see every picture you ever made.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Say, you have a very nice voice. Why didn't you ever make a talkie?
One more crack like that and I'll have Frankie bite you in the leg. I made talking pictures.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got me so flustered, I don't know what I'm saying. Just being near you makes me tremble. I'm so nervous my knees are shaking.
What's that?
My bicycle clips.
Bicycle clips. Hey, do you wear them clips around our house?
Yes, I do it to prevent catching cold.
Well, how do you like that? That science is wonderful, ain't it, Remley?
Yeah.
Gee whiz, first antihistamine and now bicycle clips. What will they think of next?
I must be dense. Hey, Sweeney. How do bicycle clips prevent you from catching cold?
Well, the house is very drafty, and they stop the cold air from blowing up my trouser legs.
Yeah.
But let's not stand in the doorway. Won't you please come in?
Oh, thank you.
Sit down. Can I get you something to drink? I have some delicious dandelion wine. Made it myself.
Curly, I'm getting out of
here. Wait a minute. Wait.
Or if you'd rather have some grape wine, I think I have a little left. I used to make that myself, too, but I had to give it up.
Why?
Do you see these purple slippers on my feet?
What about them?
They're not slippers.
Remley, I'm ready to go with you. So long, Sweeney.
Now, wait, Phil, wait. Mr. Sweeney, in your card to Mr. Harris, you said there were two things you didn't like about his program. Do you mind telling us what they are?
Well, I hesitate to mention it, but as long as you ask me, there are two things I don't like about this show.
What are they?
Your singing and Frank Remley.
Now, just a minute, please.
Mr. Harris, it's very incongruous that a man of your intelligence and breeding would associate with such a low character as Remley.
True. He is beneath me, but what is your objection to my voice, Sweeney?
Oh, I have no objection to your voice. I love it. I just object to the way it's being wasted.
Wasted?
Yes. Your voice is far too good to be thrown away on the type of song you sing. You're great when you sing things like Old Master Painter. You have all the natural attributes of a concert singer.
Ah, Sweeney, don't be ridiculous. I ain't never gonna... Concert singer, huh? Yeah, why not? Why can't I be a great singer?
Because of your voice. Does that answer your question?
I don't know. I've been told before that my voice has great qualities. Mr. Sweeney, may I tell you that I am deeply indebted to you.
That's all right. It's been a pleasure having you people in my little house. Miss Faye, it's been so wonderful meeting you. I want to give you one of these as a little memento to sort of remember me by.
Just what I needed, a bicycle clip. Oh, thanks, Mr. Sweeney, but I couldn't accept it.
Why, is it too personal?
No. No, but I wouldn't want you walking around with a cold in one leg.
Hey, Sweeney, I want to thank you again for your very constructive criticism. And look, I want you to drop over to our house and see us sometime. Drop in any time at all, huh? Thanks. Come on, Alice, Frankie, let's go. Come on. Let's not waste any time. Let's get in the car. Alice, which way is the Philharmonic Auditorium?
Bill, surely you're not going to take this seriously.
Why not? Sweeney's my public, and if my public wants me to be a concert singer, I owe it to them.
Just because Sweeney tells you.
Well, why not? Anybody can see he's a very intelligent man.
Oh, yeah, the bicycle clips prove that. Guy's a genius with purple feet.
Bill, honey, before you go ahead with this and make a fool of yourself, do me one favor. Get the opinion of a professional voice coach. If he thinks you have a good voice, I won't stop
you. All right. If it'll make you happy, I'll call a voice coach and I'll have him come over to the house and listen to me. Oh, I can see the expression on his face as I raise my voice thusly.
Stand back, Alice. Your bull is about to bellow.
From the faraway hills, painted the violets and the daffodils. He put the purple in the twilight haze, then did a rainbow for the rainy days. Dreamed up the murals on the blue summer skies, painted the devil in my darling's eyes. Captured a dreamer with a thousand thrills, an old master painter from the faraway hills. Then came his masterpiece, and when he was through, he smiled down from heaven and he gave to you. What a beautiful job on that wonderful day, the old master painter from the hills far away.
Thank you. Well, my B flat scale is in perfect shape. Say, Alice, what time is that voice coach coming over?
He'll be here any minute. Now, look, Phil. I called John Crown. He's one of the finest voice coaches in the country. And he's coming over here to tell you you have a bad voice, so please listen to
him. Okay, I'm going to be... What do you mean he's coming over here to tell me I have a bad voice? You have the bad voice. He hasn't heard me yet. Nobody can tell I got a bad voice until they hear me. What's bad voice?
Oh, honey. Phil, I don't mean you have a bad voice, but it isn't of concert quality, believe me. The very thought of you trying it worries me.
Well, there's no need for you to worry, just because it's the end of the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Now, when I start my new program,
what I'll... What new program?
The Rexall Concert Hour. Starring Philip Harris and Margaret Truman.
Is going to take my place, huh?
But don't you fret, Alicia. Don't you fret, because I'll manage to find a place for you as third soprano in the choir. Or if you prefer to take up the bassoon, I think I have a bassoon that'll fit you. And now, if you'll excuse me, my dear, I must get my voice in shape, please. Hey, Remley, yeah. Will you hurry up with that throat spray, huh?
I'll have it ready in a few minutes.
Okay. Oh, I can hear me and Miss Truman doing a duet now. When I'm calling you, will you answer too?
That means I offer my love to you, Scorpio.
If you refuse me, I shall be blown. And wait, hold that, wait a minute. I work alone, Julius.
The name is Nelson. Shall we continue, Jeanette? At this time, let's make it a waltz so we can dance the last chorus.
Be quiet, kid.
Don't interrupt, Julius. Mr. Harris is rehearsing for the concert stage.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes. I'm thinking of making my debut next week. Or maybe I'll make my debut in a fortnight. 9 days. At the Philharmonic Auditorium, if you please, and I'll be a sensation.
No doubt. I guarantee you set a new record for the auditorium.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Hey, what's a record at the auditorium now?
The last time I was there, the sign said the place could be emptied in 5 minutes, but I bet you cut it in half.
Never mind your little can stacker. I happen to have a very fine voice. All my voice needs is somebody to train it.
I know just the guy.
Who?
Frank Buck. I better yet give me a chair and a whip and I'll train it myself.
Let me tell you something, wise guy. Now, if you insist on hanging around here, you better make yourself useful. Now, go in the kitchen and see what's taking Remley so long with my throat spray. I got to get my voice warmed up.
Come in the kitchen. We'll hold it over the gas. Oh, I gotta prevent this. I can't let him do this to music lovers. Hiya, Mr. Remley.
Oh, hi, kid.
Hey, Mr. Remley, I just heard the bad news about Mr. Harris going in for concert singing.
Yeah, ain't it awful? But don't worry, Julius. I'm gonna save my pal from making a fool of himself. When that voice coach gets here, Curly won't be able to open his mouth.
How do you know?
I'm mixing the throat spray.
Oh, allow me to help. Where's the air poison?
I don't want to kill him. I just want to slow him down a little. I got the spray almost prepared.
All I gotta add are these three soothing ingredients.
What are they?
Alum, plaster of Paris, and rubber cement.
A splendid concoction. When this stuff hardens, he won't be able to open his yet.
Precisely, Doctor. Well, it's all ready. Now all we have to do is spray Curly's throat every time he opens his mouth, and then
hey,
we'll...
Hey, Remley, what's taking you so long to get the throat spray ready?
It's all prepared, it's all prepared. Open your mouth.
Oh, you got it, huh? Okay. Hey, that stuff tastes good.
Glad you like it. Here, have one for the road.
All right, I've had enough.
Now, if you're still able to open your mouth, give him a booster shot, Mr. Remley.
Bill. Oh, Bill.
Yeah, honey.
Oh, Mr. Crown has just arrived. Here he is.
Ah, at last, my voice coach is here. Cut it out, Remley. I've had enough, I told you.
Mr. Crown. This is my husband, Mr. Harris.
How do you do, Mr. Harris? Your wife has told me all about you, and I'm very anxious to hear your voice.
And I don't blame you, Mr. Crown. You have a great treat in store for you. When I sing on the road to Mandalay, you'll hear what is probably the most gorgeous baritone in this part of country, which has ever been full once when I sing on the road to Mandalay.
I beg your pardon.
I said what I'm singing.
I'm
fine, guy. What's wrong?
Kid Frankie, what's wrong with him?
It's his age, Alan.
Yeah, he's got high hardening of the arteries.
Please, I can't waste my time, Mr. Harris. I came to hear your voice, so please let me hear it.
Stop it now. Sing on the road to Mandalay for the man.
I took me some place to win. Run away from me like the wind.
Yeah, he forgot the voice. Let's help him out, Mr. Harris.
Okay.
I did not forget the voice.
On the road to Mandalay.
Where the flying ribbon play.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. But first, here's your Rexall Family Druggist.
Quite often, a customer will ask me why Rexall Milk of Magnesia is so pleasant tasting.
Albeit, why is it?
Well, my friend, to begin with, Rexall's men of science use the purest and finest USP chemicals available for the basic ingredients in Rexall Milk of Magnesia. And then, it's carefully compounded in specially designed equipment which completely mixes and blends these ingredients. Then, it goes through an extra process.
What do you mean, extra process?
Well, it passes through a special piece of equipment that very slowly smooths and churns until the liquid is creamy and fluffy. And to cap it all, before Rexall Milk of Magnesia is finally bottled, it's filtered twice through 120 mesh silk.
No wonder it's pleasant tasting.
No wonder it's one of America's most popular antacid laxatives. Yes, the consistent quality of Rexall Milk of Magnesia is one more reason why 10,000 family druggists tell you you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall.
And a happy new year to everyone and to the biggest little town in the South, Galveston, Texas, where they're having their Oleander Bowl tomorrow, New Year's Day, with two great teams, McMurray College and Missouri Valley College. Good luck down there and happy new year, everybody.
Happy new year,
Thanks
everybody.
Thanks for listening to us. Thank you.
If you're tormented by a cough these winter days, try Cherisol, Rexall's famous cough remedy. Ruby Red, pleasant-tasting Cherisote goes after coughs in two ways. First, it soothes the raw and irritated membranes of your throat and bronchial tubes. Second, it helps loosen your cough. Remember, it's a good idea to see your doctor about a cough that hangs on. Add Rexall Cherisote to your family medicine chest. Ask for it at the store with the orange and blue Rexall sign on the window. And remember, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Stand
Stay tuned for Sam Spade, then two great stars on Theater Guild on NBC.
Matinee with Bob and Ray. Good afternoon and welcome, everybody, to another Gay Sturdley. Our last program in 1949. Didn't it scare you? Yeah, the last program of this decade, the last one of this half century. The last one in the 1940s. Matinee with Bob and Ray of Public Service, presented by Harvard University. Today's prize-winning script submitted by President Conan.
In case we don't get here Monday, Happy New Year, everybody.
We'll be here Monday, or else, as you know, we can both be replaced.
We can both be counted on to be here Monday.
Just remember that if this job is too big for us, we can leave, Bob. And I want to make that abundantly clear.
That's what we've been told.
And you musicians, though, before I say another thing, I want to thank you all for what you've done to me this year.
You remember the first part of the year, Ken and Bill introduced a great new song. Ken played it, I believe, first as a solo. We're going back over the highlights of the last year.
Sounded just like that last January.
That's right, and he's had a year to practice it, but it still sounds just as bad.
Hello? Yeah, it's of course.
We made a very historic phone call
Ma Perkins is on the phone, Bob. She wants to know what to do with Shuffle. He's prematurely celebrating the holiday.
Give him the weekend off.
Take the weekend off, or tell him to take the weekend off, Ma.
Thanks, Ray.
Quiet, Shuffle. Yeah, okay, Ma.
Hello, I'm right here, and I'm all right.
Ma Perkins tells me that she's under federal indictment for peddling green lumber from the old lumberyard, Bob.
Well, we'll have to wait for Monday to find out what happens to her, I guess.
No, we won't. As a matter of fact, she's telling me now.
Oh, she is?
Yeah. But I can't tell. That would be breaking some sort of a code in radio.
Breaking a cliffhanger or something.
Incidentally, Cliffhanger, as you all know, friends, is a great musician.
Thanks, Ray.
And welcome, Cliff, to our program.
Well, sir, it's been quite a long while.
Wait a minute. I didn't say goodbye. Goodbye, Ma Perkins.
Bye, Ray.
How are
it's
you
been quite a long while since my first visit up here this year, but it was an auspicious one.
It certainly was. And do you want that pivot tooth back?
Thanks very much.
I suggest you don't use the word auspicious anymore.
Don't use the word auspicious?
You don't look good when you say it, you know?
Oh, okay.
You look kind of excited about it.
Right,
Try some other word, like fright. Let me hear you say that.
Fright. F-R-I-T-E, fright.
Well, we're not running...
Falderol. P-H-O-L-D.
No spelling.
What day was our great spelling bee this past year?
Well, that was one great program we had. You all remember our spelling bee when we had some very talented young men and young women.
The winner of our spelling bee was little Harvey Crumlift, who's here today.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Tell
us his
and
amazing
hello, everybody. It's
story.
Grand to be back. Back with you all.
What was the word that tripped you up, Harvey?
Falderol.
And did you finally get the correct spelling of it?
Finally, I got it down pretty good. Falderol. F-O-L. Falderol. Capital F-O-L. Hyphen. D. Falderol.
Try once more.
Small F-O-L-D-E-A. Falderol. P-H-A-O-L-D.
I'm sorry. Doesn't look as if you've progressed much in the last year.
I've got
year
a
either.
Kimbo down now.
A Kimbo?
A-K-I-M-B-O-U-G-H.
Right,
Kimbo.
A Kimbo. Okay. And that's Harvey Crumlift. We'll hear from him in a
minute. Juxtaposition. Capital J-U-X.
That's a small J.
Small J. Juxtaposition. Small J-U-X.
T. T-A.
Juxtaposition. I don't know. I'm sorry, sir.
Well, that's all right. You keep it up, will you?
I can't get that
Maybe
one.
Your spelling will improve. What else did we do? What was another big thing we did? We were at several historic things. Bob and Ray is there.
Bob and Ray is there. We presented the famous Battle of Crumlift.
Remember back in July, we called in our on-the-scene reporter at the Battle of Crumlift?
June 4th, 1530. The Battle of Crumlift. Bob and Ray is there.
Hold up, steady.
I'm speaking to you from my vantage point high atop a wall here on the commanding hill looking over the position where pretty soon the soldiers of the opposing army will probably be riding up. I believe I hear
Bob,
the band coming
Bob,
down the field now, and let's turn down there on the field, see if we can pick up some of this band music.
Napoleon's troops are attired in gay red ballet slippers. And also muskets.
Excuse me, Ray, for butting in. I believe there's another band approaching me here.
Before we swing down for that band music, Bob.
Before I excuse you, did you have something to say?
Yes, I did. I brought one of the commanding generals here to the microphone for you to interview.
All right, sir. And your name is what, please?
Armand Foreign. Foreign.
Of course, you understand he speaks in another language.
Foreign language.
Foreign language, and we can't understand just what it is he is saying. but we are here. And I believe there's another band coming down the field. Oh, they passed by and we didn't...
Excuse me, did this phone ring?
Yes, I think it did.
Hello.
Hello, Ray.
Hello, Mom. How's everything?
Hello, Mom.
You're interrupting. We're running down through some... We're running down through some of the great programs of 1949.
Yeah.
And, I believe if you could call back, say, at 131 or 2, we could talk with you.
All right.
Is that all right?
All right, Elizabeth.
All right, Lon.
So long.
Bob, do you remember the famous broadcast we did from the Red Sox dugout last summer?
That was wonderful. I believe you handled that.
I turned things
over to you at the Red Sox park. That was on a historic day, as I remember.
Then we also did the final game at the Yankee Stadium when the Red Sox lost out in that last game of the Yankees.
Direct from the dugout right after that game, and we heard on-the-spot interviews with several of the...
I remember going up to Mr. McCarty and saying, Joe, and he said...
Then,
All you are, 1-2 hours old, guy, I am bummed.
And we had some auspicious commercials last year. Excuse the expression.
Some what kind of commercials?
Well, some big ones.
I warned you about that word.
Remember, we were sponsored by U.S. Steel for quite a long while.
That's right. That was awful nice to those folks.
It's nice working for them.
We just didn't sell steel, friends. I don't know why you think this program could sell steel.
We offered the handy burglary kit for 3 or 4 weeks after that.
Remember that one, friends, when we sold you suction shoes for walking up sides of buildings?
Also, together with the first order, you'd receive the Bob and Ray How to Enter the Profitable Field of Burglary for Fun and Profit.
Remember, we also told you of 4 employees of First National Bank who would sing.
And together with floor plans of several national banks throughout the country.
Well, that was a big seller and went over great in America.
Do you remember how you got that? You simply... I wrote for it, and it came to you COD when the postman arrived. You took $2.98 from him. That started you on your career.
Remember that? Well, they're all gone, so don't be writing for any more, friends. Please don't, because we're all out of them.
Mary, you had a great, great conspicuous first in the year 1949.
Well, my first record came on the market, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And it went over just like a lead balloon.
I know, I remember that one. That teamed up Mule Train and one of Nick Kenny's great songs. How about giving us half a chorus of Nick Kenny's song, huh?
I don't remember it.
Well, hum it.
I'd like to be a cow in Switzerland, where the skies are always blue, where the milkmaids yodel all the day to their sweethearts. Miles and miles away.
Then in September, we introduced a couple Well, that was enough. These are just reprises,
yes,
you know.
Certainly, I'm sorry.
Ray and I introduced...
Ray. I'm just singing over in the...
Well, you go over in the corner and sing, because Ray and I introduced a song.
Quiet, Mary. Take your hands out of the marshmallow.
You remember the one we did, Kay Toomey's song? Do you remember what that was?
Kay Toomey's song?
Don't you remember the song she wrote and we harmonized?
The music goes round and round?
No, this was the new one.
Spanish? No.
Ray,
that was... Higgy Kamuko wrote that one.
I know what it was. Let's harmonize. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
We did a wonderful job on that.
Too bad we don't have the words. We could do it again.
We never did.
Uh-oh. I tell you what, while we look around for the words, well, we can, as a matter of fact, they're in Bill Green's private locker, which is conveniently located, friends, for television.
I wish you wouldn't leave sandwiches in there so long, Bill. With the
Bill keeps a small drugstore in there, too. Are you insisting on inhisting, Bill? Do you have any inhiston in there?
He has some eyewash there.
That poses a question. Where are they now?
I don't know.
Well,
they haven't been with us for quite... We do have Chesterfields. Would you like to...
Who's our guest Chesterfield star today? Before we play it, you remember, friends, about several features that we told you about Chesterfield that you never talk about, that the people don't know about, probably, that you can take the paper off of Chesterfield, there's a little strip of glue on it, you wet it, and you can hold up little locks of hair.
If you put more glue on the paper.
Yeah, because you can save the tobacco to put in your pipe. But that's another one of those many things that you can do. No, that isn't the song.
No, that's not the one, Bill. We never did learn that one.
Oh, this is called Gee, It's Tough to Be a Skunk.
This one we really made popular this past year, though.
Why don't they play it?
Chesterfield satisfy women and men. Chesterfield over and over again. Milder, much milder, all smokers agree. Always by D.C.
Now let's introduce young Dr. Brent.
Hi, folks.
7 years old. This year marked a big thing in Dr. Brent's life because he performed one of his most dangerous operations.
I remember that very well.
I
forgot my own brain.
I remember that. We were there in the operating room with you. We heard you say to your nurse...
Hand me the scalpel, please, nurse.
Okay, Doc.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Stop.
We have a small
class. Did radio industry send you over as a nurse?
They did, yes.
I hear that voice again.
Okay, Doc.
I don't know. Something about a nurse that talks like
they
that.
They said something about you got a small budget up here.
I know we've got a small budget,
and I could be used in the Western scenes, too.
Can you also play a gangster part?
Anything you want.
Okay, well, then we can use you, maybe. All right, so the nurse sounds like that. That's it. Organ music.
Here's your scalpel, Doc. By the way, here's your scalp, too.
Thanks.
What do you think's the matter with him?
Take his pulse, will you?
What do you want me to take it?
On his arm.
Oh.
Wait a minute here.
Let's see.
Hand me up a blotter there, will you?
Oh.
Okay.
I like that red gown you're wearing, Doc.
It was white when I came in.
Let's see now. I wonder if he's getting enough oxygen here.
I don't know. Slap him in the face. See if he hears you.
Hey, ow! Wake up there.
Better give him a little more sturdy.
Yeah, he needs a little more, I guess.
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh. I think he stopped reading, Doc.
Wait a minute. Let's pull up this sheet. Up over his head.
Oh.
Now, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Let's ride. Whoa. Come on. For his second offering, our organist, Mr. Wilson, will play...
Can't you hear me calling Caroline?
Caroline.
Can't you hear me calling Caroline?
I want some volunteers to go with me to the pass. There's been some dirty work.
What kind of dirty work?
Laundry.
1949, as well.
As well as...
the year when we touched serious situations like that involving the return of Little Skipper to Linda and David's lives.
Next, Linda Lovely.
Written for radio by A. Carrington Lump and starring Marcia Van Allshot as Linda, Sherman L. Sturdley as David. Let's turn back the clock to a day late in summer, the small house in River's Mouth. The clock is striking 3, and David and Linda have just come in from the garden, where they have had a mid-afternoon picnic.
David, darling.
You yes, have a... I heard you call me, so I came.
David, would you like cocoa?
I believe I'll have a cup, yes.
All right, my darling.
And...
oh, David, there's a rose in your mouth.
I know that.
Oh.
Pass me one of those butter sandwiches.
David, you're so strong.
Excuse me, Linda, you're... dress is on fire.
Oh. Well.
I'll help you put it up. There.
Thank you, David.
It's
so strong, my darling.
Awfully warm for July, wouldn't you say?
Yes, David.
Have you heard from Lawyer Tucker?
He called this morning. He said Skipper will be coming home soon.
Little Skipper coming back home.
I can't go on.
That went on for 3 weeks, and we didn't require any lines or anything. Then in September, a new character entered Linda and David's lives.
Miserable life.
Uncle Eugene came upon the scene.
Uncle Eugene?
It was just at the time when Linda had received a sterling silver imitation ivory love brooch in the shape of a piston ring.
Say, Linda, that's a mighty beautiful sterling silver ivory type piston ring love brooch you're wearing there.
It was sent to me by an anonymous
sender.
Who
sent it to you?
An anonymous sender.
Why, that is mighty beautiful there on the back of your neck.
Thank you.
I'll bet all of your friends would like to receive one exactly like it, too.
Oh, I don't suppose they could, because I have the only one in the world.
It's...
this little handy locket here.
That's a locket,
excuse
I suppose.
Excuse me a minute. Do you see this handy locket here?
Yes.
See what I can keep in it? Stockings.
Say, that's a mighty big locket, isn't it?
Yes.
I used to have a locket like that in high school, kept my books in it.
Oh, Uncle Eugene, you're so strong. And how your thumbs there.
Linda, it would be so wonderful if all of your friends could receive one of these genuine...
wouldn't it be wonderful if the sponsor could make his way clear?
Oh, I should imagine they'd be much too expensive, Aunt Linda, to send to all of your many friends who would send a box top and 10 cents for handling and mailing.
I have a feeling that the announcer at the end of the program will have something special to say about this brooch.
Oh, if only he would.
Oh, it's too much to expect.
Too much to expect, I suppose.
Is that telephone ringing?
No, it isn't.
Then that caller's too tight on my neck.
Well, we listened a little bit later and heard the announcer make that wonderful announcement.
Yes, ladies, get in on this great thing. Be the first one in your neighborhood with a genuine imitation sterling ivory brooch.
Be a big wheel in your gang.
Remember, you catch it at the back of the neck with a Tootsie Roll.
What else do we have in 19...
Be the first member in your crowd to wear this exclusive Linda Lovely brooch.
Be a pillow in your society.
Killer
in your society. What other things do we have in 1949?
Well, we were fired once and then rehired.
Luckily, it was on a Saturday and we were back to work Monday.
They had forgotten about it. But we won't reenact those horrible scenes, certainly. We should avoid them. I think we should turn to Ken and Bill, the 385th Field Artillery Orchestra.
That's right. The song that received the most requests during the past year for Ken and Bill to play.
Send Them Home, it's called.
Ken and Bill.
Say, Bob. Did you happen to see the schedule this morning where it made mention of the fact that the Boston Traveler, starting this coming Wednesday, would have...
Boston, wait a minute, Ray. I've heard that name somewhere before.
Boston Traveler, newspaper.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, now, starting Wednesday, the 4th of January, they're going to have the adventures of, I think, Skip Along Garibaldi. Is that right?
I think that's his name, or Jump Along Muldoon or something.
Well, I don't know. So I went out and I found this transcription, and I thought we could play it and
tell the whole story.
Yeah, remind everyone about it.
Okay.
So, and I picked out two good men to go to work on this transcription.
Well, I know, being in the talent business as you have been so long.
You see, I have my finger on it all the time.
Sure.
I have my finger on the pulse of the nation.
Uh-huh.
I remember one time when I was handling Dave Rubinoff and his violin.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Bob. There goes that ornery vomit now.
Not me, Ray. I ain't going after him. I'm staying right here.
You mean?
Yeah, I'm yeller.
Come to think of it, so am I. Here, let's hold up here.
All right, hold up there, old tangle.
Hold up there, boss. Hold up. Oh, we ain't got nothing to worry about. Why, look who's here. Hop along.
Hi, partners. This is your friend Hopalong Cassidy. I've got some good news for you. Starting Wednesday, January 4th, I'm going to be with you every day in the comic pages of your favorite newspaper.
And the favorite newspaper hereabouts is the Boston Traveler.
If you enjoy my television pictures and my radio show, I'm sure you'll like the new Hopalong Cassidy comic strip. It will be full of fast, hard-riding action and adventure and plenty of thrills. Topper's in it, too. And we tangle with some pretty tough hombres right from the start. I hope you enjoy it.
Hey, wait for me, Bob. I want to reserve my Boston Traveler for next Wednesday, too. Won't catch me missing a single episode of Hopalong Cassidy.
You did. You did pick two good men for that.
You know how I won't miss one.
Right.
Be fired if I did. But anyway, I think that should be real great, Hopalong Cassidy. He's always been a big favorite of mine.
Ray, I happen to have seen a few of the advance releases from this mighty interesting Western adventure strip.
You did, Tex? What do you think about it?
I think it's here to stay, and I want to go on record as saying that.
Well, anyway, I think Bill Boyd will go to work on his third million now.
Well, I think Bill will get along with 3 squares a day, and after all, that's what counts.
You bet. It's the biggest thing in life. Down here by the old chuck wagon.
You said it. Under that western moon on the prairie.
There in the old sneakers. Well, those were the days. Now, why don't we go out west for a while, or do you think we ought to do our...
We had an interesting discovery one time this past year when we roamed to the far-off Orient, discovered a program very similar to one that we were used to listening to around here. Remember that one?
Oh, I remember now. The Yangtze River Incorporated presents Mr. Lee and his unoriginal Bad Will Hour.
Thank you, Mr. Wong. First problem, please.
My problem is this, Mr. Lee.
Don't mention any proper name or place, please.
Yes. I've been a pirate on the Yellow River.
Don't mention any proper name, place.
I've been a pirate on this here river.
Let me see if I have your story right to this point. You say you've been a pirate.
Yes, and I met this here woman in Hong Kong.
I see, yeah. Excuse me, you have a bit of char siu din on lapel there.
What?
A char siu din on lapel. Now, continue with a problem, please.
This here woman, she shanghaied me.
Oh, I see. This woman shanghaied you, huh?
Yeah. To make a long story short, Mr. Lee...
That's all we want here, yeah.
I've come for your advice. I mean, I don't know what to do. I didn't tell you I shot her. I didn't tell you that,
but... I'm gonna ask you a couple questions.
Yeah.
You have told anybody about this?
What, you think it crazy? No, the cops would be looking for me then.
My advice to you is to get out of town quick.
I see. Any particular town?
No, I don't want to mention any particular town. Maybe you have relatives you can go live with. Do you have sisters?
Yeah, I got 3 sisters. Patty, Maxine, and Levine.
I will suggest you go live with them.
Yeah.
Until this whole thing's over.
I don't know, they'd be glad to see me, you know. I mean, they don't like me, I don't think, you know.
You understand, I cannot give you legal advice on program, though. No tongue will be after me.
I see.
However, if you stay see me in my pagoda after program, I give you a little more advice.
Incidentally, friends, if you'd like to buy a Tong War Bond, simply send along $10 to Tong War Bonds, care of this station.
Then we went out west several times last year. We got into hot water 2 or 3 times.
And did
we didn't have any soap with us, which didn't help matters.
You remember the time we made the movie short?
Yes, that
it was about
a short
two or three reels short.
Yeah.
It only had one reel, and both of us were hung in that first reel. And everyone was dissatisfied when they went to our opening night at Grauman's Chinese Theater. We had fresh cement there, and everyone got stuck in the lobby, don't you know?
They're still standing there. We bring them food.
I'm reminded of the great poet Browning, who once said... Any more commercials?
No, we've run through the commercials.
Well, look, here's another thing. Here's a song written by Joe Candulo, Bob.
Oh, yes, sure.
Jack Joyce, and Ken and Bill played it earlier. So why don't we sing it? I Want to Go Home with You.
Well, you sing it. I don't really know.
All right. I don't know it very well myself. So don't laugh at me, friends. Maybe someday you'll have to sing.
This was the big new voice of 1949.
Incidentally, don't be you sitting around radios at home. Don't be giggling at me, you know? I'm very tender, you know? Okay. You gonna play? I wanna go home with you. I wanna go home with you. I wanna meet the family. I'm sure that they'll approve of me. I wanna go home with you, and nobody else will do. Kissing goodnight at your front door makes me love you more and more.
You folks ain't giggling now. You never will be.
This phone ring, Bob. Yes,
it did.
Hello?
It's a lucky thing.
Okay, lady. Yes. Yeah, I know. I've never had no train or nothing like that, no. Yeah. Thank you.
Hang up in the face.
Thank you very much, madam.
She has no talent when she hears it.
I want to go home with you. Thank you and good night.
There you have the,
you like
big,
that one?
The big new voice of last year.
So get your votes in. Remember, the honest city is Superior, Wisconsin. And
number out there is 717-223-4489.
Here, I'll call him right now, as a matter of fact. Now, this is how you call it.
You getting it? You dialing?
Yeah, I'm getting it now.
quite a long number.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Longer than we have here in Boston.
Sure is. The biggest city up
here.
There she is. Hello?
Hello, is this the Honest City?
Right-o.
Is this the right number?
I believe it is, sir. 717-423-44968.
No, J. No, that's the wrong number. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I better hang up.
Sorry.
Here, I'll dial him again. Right. I'll get him this time.
Hello?
Hello?
You got the right number this time.
Yes, I want to vote for Ray Goulding.
Okay,
he's great.
Okay, I'll put your vote down here on our master tabulator.
Thank you very much, sir, for calling.
And master tabulator is standing right beside me. I'd like to have him say a few words.
Thanks very much, Pop.
How old are you?
It's awful good to be here with you.
Well, thanks to have you, master.
Yeah, certainly.
Bill Green,
But now, the makers of Snickers presents Dr. O.K., the sentimental banker. So we're taken out of the stage of Lowe's Poli Theater and Last Chance has caught you on. But Dr. O.K., the sentimental banker.
Thank you, Mr. Sturdley. Before we get to our questions and contestants for today, let me introduce my assistants here at Lowe's Poli Theater, Last Chance, Saskatchewan. In the orchestra to my right, Ed Sturdley.
Thank you, Doctor.
In the center orchestra, Ed Sturdley.
Thank you, Doctor.
In the orchestra to my left, downstairs, Ed Sturdley.
I'm not going too fast for you, Doctor,
yes,
am I?
Yes, you are. Now in the balcony upstairs, Ed Sturdley. And now to our first contestant,
you,
Ed Sturdley, in the orchestra downstairs. Excuse me, in the balcony upstairs. Hurry along now, please. We don't have too much time.
I have a gentleman, Doctor.
All right, for that gentleman, Doctor, here's our famous American question. I can give you three clues. If you answer after the first, your prize will be a portable wall safe. If you answer after the second, a genuine live chameleon from the island of Madagascar. But if it takes you all three clues, your prize will be an electric welding kit. Is that clear, sir?
Yes, sir.
The number one clue, I was born.
Ted Williams, Margaret O'Brien, and William Pendick.
Those are good guesses, sir, but they're not correct. Let's wait for your second clue.
Flicker.
No,
Flicker.
I'm sorry. I invented
Linda,
the steamboat.
Stop.
Wait for your clues. I invented the steamboat, the electric typewriter. I hung by my thumbs from the Empire State Building for 2 hours and 45 minutes before dropping off. Who am I?
Oh, Grant Volney.
Oh, you're right as far as you've gone, sir. You'll have to complete his name.
Grant
Volney what, sir?
Grant Volney LeBerf.
No,
Grant Volney McGee.
No, I'm...
Grant Volney,
Oh, I'm awfully sorry. Your time is up, sir. I think you'd find his full name to be Grant Volney Jr. But
oh,
a box of Snickers
today.
What size Snickers do you wear, sir?
8.5.
And your name and address, please.
John Kieran, New York 20, New York.
See, boy, that about winds things up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it should before the cops arrive.
Last program and the last series and the last year and the wrong pod, probably a little late, so...
Now, look, everybody, be real careful this weekend, will you? And be around Monday so that you can listen to us if for no other reason. We'll try to be here. In fact, we will.
Well, we expect to be.
Ken Wilson played the organ.
Preparations to
yeah. Bill Green played the piano. Jimmy Sullivan was our grand...
You were grand, Jim.
Matinee with Bob and Ray is heard every day, Monday through Saturday at 1 o'clock. Remember, if you get work, write and hang by your thumbs. Happy New Year, everybody.
WHDH in the good old city of... Isn't it? Is it still here? What is it? What happened?
Wait a minute, stop. Wait,
yeah,
whoa.
Stop the music.
Wait a minute. We have to find out what goes on the air here. What goes on the air here, Bob?
Regent Cigarettes.
Regent Cigarettes? What do you know about that? You mean...
Yes, this can mean war.
Here, hand me the phone. Hello, Washington? George?
Correction, please. Regents do not cost extra.
Correction, please. Regents do not cost extra.
King-size Regent cigarettes are oval-shaped for 10% cooler smoking. Yet Regents cost not 1 cent extra.
Luxury smoke.
Regular price. Regent cigarettes.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.